Can you hear me, Internet? Are you there, Internet?
Oh my
it's
God!
It's called Running on Irish Time.
Is it?
Why doesn't the Internet speak back to me? They can. It's a call-in show.
I know.
That's right. 214-530-0036. Let me get this out of the way since I skipped it like last time. And I'm really hating this music. I need to find something else.
I like it.
Yeah, but you wouldn't like it if you knew all the other podcasts that were using it as intro music.
I don't even listen to our podcast.
I know.
So,
oh, by the way,
episode 199. No, episode one. What episode is this? 189.
Oh, brass.
Speaking of rights free music, there's a lockpicking channel that I watch, and when like things just completely go pear shaped, and he's just struggling to keep something together, like it's completely falling apart in his hands. He speeds up the film and cuts the audio track and puts in a very similar to the other show's intro and closing music with somebody finger picking on a mandolin.
Yeah,
and it just made me think of the
I like how you put that, the other show,
the other show.
Yeah,
everyone knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
I don't. What
the other show? The show that shall not be named.
Unfortunately, Brita has a couple of other shows.
Yeah,
Vicious right. Circle?
Yes.
Is that what you're talking about?
Brita's got a long string of bad relationships. she's not doing any better.
Yeah, we try to forget.
Okay, so this is too far. Okay, I need to set this up for everyone. So, Microsoft,
heard of them?
Famously late to the internet in 1995. Bill Gates sent out an email to the company saying we're late to the internet. And by 1995, there were like millions of people on the internet, and Microsoft had zero internet strategy, none at all. What the hell? Anyway, where did I lost my train of thought? Somebody interrupted me. Microsoft had no internet strategy whatsoever in 1995, and some people would argue that
Alan.
Is it Captain?
Hey, Alan?
Yes. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Are you
hey, Alan?
Yeah.
Don't read and talk at the same time. Just a tip.
Okay. So anyway, Microsoft, famously late to the internet, and proving that they still don't understand the internet. I actually thought this was a parody piece. But it was in the Telegraph. A day after Microsoft introduced an innocent artificial intelligence chat robot to Twitter, it had to delete it after it transformed into an evil, Hitler-loving, incestual sex-promoting, Bush-did 9/11 proclaiming robot.
A whole 24 hours,
yeah.
Huh?
So here we go.
I don't think that's Microsoft's fault. I mean, all that tells me is that it's designed to read like vast amounts of Twitter and play along with the game. And
okay. Wait,
Twitter
wait.
Is a fucking horrible infested swamp.
All right. Yeah, but there's more.
Okay. But wait, there's more.
Developers at Microsoft. This is the part where Microsoft doesn't understand the internet, or maybe they do understand the internet. Developers at Microsoft created Tay, an AI modeled to speak like a teen girl.
First of all,
and marketed her as
that's their first mistake right there.
So they put an AI designed to act like a teenage girl and connected it to Twitter.
That's their first mistake.
It's so
did they put her in like a little short skirt too, with like pigtails and.
And there's a weird thing right there is like this would almost make sense like if it was if the programming industry wasn't like 99.9% male, like it is like such a ridiculously male dominated field. Like I'm always surprised. Like I've got a few friends that are in the software engineering world and all of that. It's just like, there's like no women there like at all, you know, sort of idea. It's like, it seems like every other field might be, well, I mean, I'm in biology and biology tends to be like, it's probably like more 60-40 female to male, but a lot of them are maybe, you know, are maybe at least in the sciences, you know, more of a 70-30, you know, male to female, but that's like 99 to like point, you know, to one. It's just brutal. And so like, where would just the frame of reference just seems like bad news.
Well, yeah. And the chatbot was sending out tweets that said like asking her followers to fuck her and call her and called them daddy. Bush did 9/11. And Hitler would have done a better job than the monkey we have now. Ted Cruz is the Cuban Hitler.
So basically what you're saying is Twitter has like the sense of humor of a 12-year-old.
Yeah. Well, because Twitter's infested by 12-year-olds.
Well, Twitter is the worst representation of the internet.
Especially since they kicked all the grown-ups out.
Well, yeah. Twitter, yeah.
You know, they used to...
I have missed a couple shows, so have you guys discussed that, about how Twitter is starting to...
No.
Weed out people that it doesn't like?
Yes, they are.
Yeah. I mean, they are deliberately going and just deleting. Who is the most famous? What's his face? Jane Cobb.
Yeah, Adam right. Baldwin.
Adam Baldwin was just completely deleted from Twitter. They just decided they didn't like him. And boop, bye-bye.
And actually, I think, I mean, that is shameful and horrible. Is the fact that he was such a big like Twitter guy. I mean,
that was basically his forum.
Yeah. He took to Twitter like we take to podcasts, sort of idea. Just, he loved Twitter. And so, yeah, that was a big thing. But what I actually find, I mean, so, but, and then them suddenly deciding, no, we want an echo chamber. And so let's kick out all the outspoken conservatives on Twitter and make them go away because they're quote unquote bullies because they say stuff we don't want to listen to. And then even had like the shadow banning thing too, where like people were posting and it looked like their Twitter was working normally, but they were the only ones that got to see they were the only ones that realized they existed. They essentially became like ghosts in the machine. And, Is that a police song? I think it is. But needless to say, moving on.
Well, they also had that safety council.
Yeah, with Anita Sarkeesian. Mm-hmm. But the big thing that I'm really amazed at is that Joss Whedon and who is the other guy? Was it Stephen Fry? What's it with Frey? British novelist. Somebody, is it Stephen Fry?
Is he the gay guy with the? Yeah, it's Fry. Something. It might be Stephen
Fry. Yeah.
Yeah.
This guy. I mean, so both Joss Whedon and Stephen Fry are both like super lefty, like fellow travelers, you know, and all of that, but. They deign to be like to flunk the social justice warrior purity test, and they were driven out of Twitter. Like, that's the thing that gets me, is like, oh my god, like social justice warrior is such an empty cause that they have to attack like a gay rights progressive activist and a domestic violence activist because they hurt their feelings. They said something a little bit naughty.
Well, you know what? Twitter is a private company, so they can do what they want.
Like go out of business.
Well, but which they're is... not going to, because Twitter is populated by twits, basically, and it's going to become like the MySpace of social media. It really is, because the people who are going to continue to use Twitter, despite their, you know, asshattery, the people who are going to continue to use Twitter are irrelevant. And it, like you said, it's like an echo chamber.
Yep.
It's like Tumblr.
Well, I mean,
it's going to be like the Tumblr of whatever Twitter is. I mean, Twitter to me has always just been a cacophony. I have tried to do Twitter like 3 times now, and I just cannot.
See, I've never actually logged into Twitter, and never. I don't have an account, and I never pressured either of you guys for the Squirrel Report Twitter account because, yeah, I really don't want to. I mean, it's one of those. I've got a Facebook page. I just use it to read. I occasionally make a comment, but I don't want to put anything up on somebody else's website. And because for this exact reason is, you know, Adam Baldwin was creating. I mean, so Sean just chimed in the chat saying that Adam Baldwin wasn't deleted from Twitter. He just deleted his account because he realized he'd been shadow banned and people weren't reading his tweets and that he
shadow banned. Well, is
either way.
Oh yeah. No, it's all the same thing as, yeah, they forced his hand.
Yeah.
Where was I going with that? But I mean, the big thing the thing I love Twitter about is, and as far as I can tell, you really can't, you know, you don't need a Twitter account to read pretty much everything on Twitter.
Right,
is that it is the best place for the anti-gun people because they're idiots. They speak in slow, simple sound bites. They don't have anything real particular to say, and they're just linking stuff. So it's just them and it doesn't involve any effort whatsoever to tweet. And so because of that, it's like the place where the anti-gunners shine. And so I love.
Well, sure, they shine, but it's like if you have so many idiots at the same time, it's
blogging for the illiterate.
Well, yes, but okay. As far as the anti-gun thing goes, if you hold up like this mass of idiots and say, "Look, here's this mass of idiots." People discount that. They're like, oh, a mass of idiots, big whoop. Because, you know, that happens every day.
I think it's called a trundle of idiots, by the way.
Oh, a trundle.
I just decided a bunch of idiots needs a collective.
It's like, speaking of, I learned that a collective of pandas is an embarrassment of pandas.
That is so
As an aside, I think that's awesome.
It's so appropriate. If
you're holding up like the anti-gun side of Twitter as some sort of like, oh, look how stupid the anti-gun people are. Everybody's dumb on Twitter. I think everybody's dumb on Twitter.
Yes.
It's like a collective. It's like a display of dumbness to me. I literally have tried so many times to get into Twitter, and I just read it, and I'm like, "What are you?" It's a cacophony of idiocy to me.
Yeah. No. And to be fair, Brita, you're 100% correct on that. Like, I don't. Excuse me. I don't ever really, you know, except for a few occasions, I don't ever really quote anybody on Twitter. I certainly don't put in like Twitter arguments because I've seen other people do that. And it's just like one of those, like, seriously, where are you getting with this? This is really just masturbation. What I like is it's good for them to communicate because, again, it's not a lot of effort and it's not a lot of effort. At least you can't easily conceal what you're doing. And all that. So I really just use it as like opposition research. It's there. It's the anti-gun frequency that I tune into.
Once in a while, I will copy a link to Twitter and put it on my Facebook feed. And it's always somebody brilliant like Jim Treacher or who's that other guy? Come on, David Burge.
Oh, yeah. Iowa Hawk.
Iowa Hawk. Thank you. It's always somebody brilliant like that. But like, you know, as far as one of the problems with Twitter is like anybody can tweet. And like, you know, the Jim Treacher tweet is just as, you know, it's like on this even keel with the idiot on the other side. Like it's very, it's too democratic.
Yes. No, that's
it's
true.
It's a cacophony. Yeah.
Yeah. And also, yeah, everyone's got like an equal play when there is like a Twitter argument of the, you know, somebody says something stupid, the pilers on are just, you know, some of right. them might be, you know, well-learned, smart people with, you know, with an established, you know, with an established history and all that. And other people would just be the, hey, homo. So glad you could join us.
Right. Exactly. It's like, yeah, it's like the dumb kid class. Like they start talking and you're like, oh, thanks for your input.
I like popcorn.
Oh, God.
Twitter.
But
so anyway,
back to the artificial intelligence thing.
Yeah.
I had a call in. If anybody wants to call in and tell us what kind of artificial intelligence or robot that you wanted to design and build and why.
That's our call in topic, by the way.
I would love to know that.
There was a
nobody say sex bot.
No, come on. That's too easy.
There was a liberal blogger that I used to harass. It was just complete nobody. Like nobody read this guy's blog. And I just happened to stumble on it one day. And I used to like leave comments on it. And he would just give these like four, like you just leave like, you know, fruit flies are on my bananas. And he would leave like a three paragraph response of like Bush, Hitler, America, KKK, and all of that. And I at one point put like a link up to his blog saying, oh man, somebody developed this really cool liberal bot. Just type in something and it'll create an artificial intelligence response. he ended up stopped playing along when he realized that was happening.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, you know, so they take this, I don't know if it's fair to call it an AI. It's just a chat bot and hook it up to the Twitter. And I almost, you know, part of me thinks they still don't understand the internet. And part of me thinks they really do understand the internet. And this is just a publicity thing.
No, I don't think so. I don't think they understand. And
yeah, but you don't want to be like a software company that's developing innovative and smart technology and do something stupid.
Right. Like, you don't want to be like the guy inventing the Nazi sex robot AI.
Yeah. This would be totally fine if like one of the Kardashians came up with it because yeah, that would increase their ratings because we want to see them do stupid shit.
Well,
we don't want to see the person that builds like 90% of the operating systems on the planet do something that fucking dumb.
Well, the article does mention that this is not Microsoft's first teen girl chatbot either.
No,
they have already launched, and I don't know how to pronounce it, XIAOICE. It's Chinese, okay. A girly assistant or girlfriend reportedly used by 20 million people, particularly men, on Chinese social networks, WeChat and Weibo. She is supposed to banter and give dating advice to lonely hearts.
Oh, boy. The Chinese.
Owner of a lonely heart.
God bless them, the Chinese, but they have screwed themselves with that whole one child thing.
All right, now I'm actually starting to get kind of scared because so I've upgraded. I mean, I could say foolishly, but whatever. It's whatever. I don't give a shit about hardware or software. It works. I upgraded to like the newest version of Windows, whatever the fuck.
Windows 10?
Yeah, whatever.
Did you do it?
Yeah.
And? I've been living in fear of Windows 10.
So here's the weird thing about it. Like, it's got to be like some sort of weird smart operating system.
I regretted it
for like the first like 3 days I had it because my computer just ran like it was full of sand. It was just the slowest, horrible thing on earth. And now it's actually really fast and really nice. So, and I've gotten used to it. It's not worth the upgrade from 7.
Does it look different?
Yes. Vaguely.
Does it? No. I don't want it. Nope.
don't. If you feel that way, Brita, don't bother. Don't bother. There's really not a lot to gain. On it. But so one of the weird things about it is now down beside the Windows key is this little thing called Cortana, which is evidently it's named after the artificial intelligence in the Halo games, which is a Microsoft game and all that. But it's got I'm looking at it right now, but it's got the little, like, you can click the microphone button to do voice recognition or just type something into it. I usually use it just to find a program I'm looking for rather than, you know, diving through the program tree.
You can talk to your computer and tell it to do things?
But it says, ask me anything. Alan got it. Now that I'm hearing all this shit, I'm hearing it as a ask me anything.
So it's like Siri.
Hey Brita, you can talk to me.
No.
Ask me anything you want. Brita, I'm your computer. I'm your computer. I love you. I know everything about you. Ask me anything you want.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So now I'm realizing my computer is an underage dirty whore.
It is. Tell it, teach it.
Which
to,
brings
teach
us it, back to the
teach it to call you daddy.
I've got enough people in my house that call me that now, and it doesn't have that allure.
That's what this Tay thing was doing, was calling people daddy and asking them to have sexual relations with.
All right, that's enough.
No. Also, Tay. Just saying. Are there? That's one of those made up African American names, isn't it?
I think so.
Does it have an apostrophe?
No.
No.
But it's T A Y E, right?
It's T A Y.
Just T A Y.
Well, here's the problem. Okay. Recently, I think it was this week, there was an article about there was a boat.
Oh yeah,
that they wanted
the Arctic boat.
The Britain's Natural Environment Research Council came up with. They have this polar research vessel, right? And so they asked the internet to name the boat, right? And
is it named the SS Robert Shitcock?
No. So they thought, you know, they're going to ask the internet to name the boat, and so they had like a drawing and people could vote on the names.
The SS Surprise Cock Bag?
No, actually it's cuter than that, but kind of, you know, it's the internet. So when you ask the internet to do things for you,
the internet's retarded.
You get boats named, and I'm not kidding, the boat's name is RRS Bodie McBoatface.
Oh God.
And Bodie McBoatface has amassed over almost 78,000 votes. 10 times more than the closest competition.
Oh my God.
So this polar research ship is going to be named Bodie McBoatface. This is what happens when you ask the internet, which has the collective sense of humor of like a 12-year-old boy, to do something for you. You get stupid things like this Microsoft artificial intelligence, and then you get Bodie McBoatface.
Oh, just got linked in chat. Experts could overrule Bodie McBoatface name choice for polar ship.
They should not, because they should not. It should always be Bodhi McBoatface. They should leave it because they should learn. They should leave the name and then learn their lesson.
Stupid should hurt.
Yep.
214-530-0036.
That's a big research vessel. So the captain of that has got to be a big swinging dick. He's not going to be just some guy fresh out of
captain. He's the captain of Bodhi McBoatface now.
And he gets to call out that name every time he keys the radio.
So sorry. Don't ask the internet to do stuff for you.
This is the Bodhi, commander of Bodhi McBoatface off your port bow.
Uh-huh.
They call it Bodhi for short.
And he gets to hear what I sound like right now back as the Bodhi McBoatface. Can we do a two whistles, Captain? I'm too busy laughing. I forget what two whistles are.
The other one that had me laughing was also linked on that article about the emu they asked the children to name. And they named it Spazzy.
Spazzy McGee. I can't even say it.
Spazzy McGee. Well, this reminds me of the one of my close friends in high school. They had a cat, an older cat. By the time I met them, and all that, and like she was older, and she had that like spayed cat business with like the where their boobs start drooping.
What?
Do you know this thing, Brita?
Say it again.
Spayed female cats, when they get older, their mammary tissues just start.
Oh, I thought you were talking about human beings.
No.
Okay.
I
don't know this.
Yeah.
My cats all have the high end tights like I do.
Okay. So, but it's fucking sexy. But so this cat was just this wad of fluff that would sleep all the time and occasionally wander through a room. And all that. And of course the hilariousness of they bought her when she was a kitten and all that. So they named her Frisky.
Oh dear.
And it's just this fucking fat loaf of a cat just wandering around named Frisky. And one of our friends decided, no, this cat's name is Meatloaf. And so we just called the cat Meatloaf all the time.
Aww. Nice.
It's a better name than Spazzy McSpazzerson.
It's always not a good idea to name a cat like a descriptive term because they will just
unless
do
it's
the opposite. They'll do the opposite to spite you, I think.
So if you named a cat asshole, you would actually get like a cat that was personable?
No.
Maybe.
You'd get an asshole.
You'd get an asshole.
214-530-0036.
Speaking of assholes. Assholes. What's your robot, Alan?
My robot? I have thought many times that it would be nice to have a laser robot that would shine the laser on the floor for the cats. But then I think, I decide that's not good because half the fun of playing laser with the cats is playing laser with the cats.
Yeah.
So...
I just want a robot to do my laundry.
A laundry bot?
That's all. Laundry bot.
Do laundry, like laundry and general household cleaning.
No. I'm good with household cleaning. I just hate laundry.
Because I have a robot that does the cleaning thing.
Yeah, I know.
I'm doing laundry right now.
Actually, are you folding laundry?
No. I just wash and dry it.
You don't fold?
No.
The folding is the hard part.
I know. I'm incapable of doing it. I've tried. I've been trying.
So,
my wife tried to teach me.
Oh. Is this one of those things where the husband's
like,
I'm so dumb,
everyone
I don't know
says,
how to fold the laundry.
Everyone says it is. It's the same story behind the fact that it was one winter we had a really nasty snowstorm. And I had... You know, that fall bought like a bunch of new shovels and all that. Said, oh, I've got a bunch of shovels. So how about this? I told to my wife, I said, you start at the front door. I'll start at the back door. And you know, I'll probably move a little bit faster than you. And so when, you know, you're three quarters of the way done, we'll be completely done. Or, you know, quarter of the way done, we'll be completely done. And all that. And so I'm shoveling away. Finally, I decide to, like, look. I keep looking down the driveway, and I don't see her coming towards me. And so I'm like, she has to have been done, like, the front steps by now and, like, moved on to the base of the driveway. And so finally, I just go around just to check on her, and she's just doing, like, the most piss-poor job of shoveling. And everyone says the exact same thing. Oh, she was fucking dogging it because, exactly, I just said, go the fuck inside. You're wasting your time out here. You might as well be warm and dry and do nothing. And everyone's saying, oh, yeah, no, she was dogging. No, she was trying her absolute hardest. She just sucks at shoveling snow.
Was this before or after brain surgery?
This was before.
You might try her again.
Alan.
Well, now she's got the good angle. She watches the baby and I shovel.
Oh, well, there you go.
So it's one of those, like, okay, somebody's got to, you know, either listen to see if she wakes up and cries or keep her occupied while I'm shoveling and have her pound at the window while I go by with my shovel. But yeah, no, she wasn't. It's just, I just can't do it. I'm just no good at folding laundry. Can't do it.
We have Sean Sorrentino joining us.
I see
our
black
only
people.
Caller.
Hey, how's it going?
Sean. Hey, Sean. Thank you for calling.
Hey.
And I'm going to shame everyone else that doesn't
I'm
going to
stop asking. Is there like a reverse function where I can just start calling people at home?
Call people and say, at home. And put them on the, you're on the show.
You're on the show. Hello.
Good yeah, evening. You know what? But to do that, we'd have to do it during dinner time.
Ooh,
I think actually we need to start a new segment. It's Ask Embarrassing Questions of Weird and Sean. So call up now. What's that phone number again, Weird?
It is 214-530-0036.
So call up and ask us some questions.
Doesn't everybody know everything already about you guys?
Nah, not really.
Probably not Sean. Sean's a little bit more guarded with his personal life than me. People know my fucking
grooming habit. Doesn't necessarily need to be personal life. But I am coming to you from the wonderful town of Wilmington, North Carolina. I'm in a hotel, actually.
Did you go see the battleship?
No, I went to see the battleship the first time I was here. I'm here on business, and I really – boy, I've been going like a brace and bit since I got here with recording segments and – doing my actual job, you know, where I get paid. I really haven't had any free time.
Mm. You sound like you're in a tent.
Actually, I sort of am.
He is.
Why?
Well, check this out. Now, this is what I sound like with the new recording booth that I have. But if I do this and sit back a little bit, hear the big echo from the hotel room.
Yeah, it sounds like you turned the reverb on.
Yeah.
So are you sitting like under the covers in your bed?
No, I got this neat new thing from a company called what is the name of the company? It's Vocal Booth To Go.
Oh boy.
And it's called VocalBoothToGo.com, and they sold me actually they sold one for Aaron. It's a Carry On Vocal Booth Pro, and it's this. I guess it's like a 2.5 foot square by like 6 inch box that folds out into like a little sound booth. You put your microphone in and you can tell that it just kills the echo that you would get out of an unprepared room. It's pretty cool. I'm pretty happy with it. And
this does change my level of nerdery. I am unfamiliar with.
He's such an audiophile.
Yeah, well, Erin used to record all of her segments underneath a blanket in a church. It was an office in a church. So, you know, it had tile floors, it had a hard wall. And so we had this echo even underneath the blanket. And I'm like, I wish there was a better way to do this. So, like, I saw this and I'm like, well, for $200, we could totally get you this. And Erin, of course, you know, where's Erin going to find $200? And So we put out the call to the podcaster listeners and to Aaron's, blue collar prepping blog, and said, hey, you know, if you guys want a little better audio quality. So in about a week, we came up with the money and we bought her the booth, and it worked so well that I'm like, I've got $200. I'll buy myself one. So here I am recording all of the segments for this week's show in a, you know, I don't have to be under a blanket, because last time I was in a hotel, I pulled up a I went downstairs and I stole the luggage cart and I did all of my recording underneath a blanket and a luggage cart.
There are photographs online of this, and it's awesome.
Wow.
There are, in fact.
I guess there's a sucker born every minute. Just ask the internet for money and they will give it.
Hey.
For whatever you want, really.
Maybe it's other internet people that there are other people that I've heard complaints about our podcast, not sounding great and people not being able to listen to it because of background noise and things like that. Yes.
Like people who play Minecraft while they're
Minesweeper.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yes.
Yeah.
Minecraft.
I am not getting paid for this, therefore I'm not going to be spending money on this. So, you know, do what makes you happy, dude.
I get paid lots of money.
I don't ask other people to spend money on things that make me happy. That's my responsibility. But
you make people, you know, that's just me. Spend money on copies.
Yeah.
And that
makes
what?
Unhappy, which makes you happy. So actually, when you tell people they have to pay for the copiers, they hate it, and that gives you joy.
What are you even talking about?
I don't know. It lost me on that one.
No, Brita, you always talk about everyone getting all indignant when you tell them it's 10 cents a copy.
Yeah. That's the deal.
But you like it when assholes like that suffer. So therefore, you are asking them to spend money to make you happy.
It's not.
So where are the callers asking embarrassing questions? Come on.
Yeah.
Did we even get any callers last week?
No. Well, we had one.
Yeah, I think we got Arctic Elf right off the top.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think the phone line works anymore.
So where is Che G anyway?
He's on vacation.
He's in Florida.
So everybody did see that, right? Everybody's Facebook tried to tag the line drawing of Che Guevara as JG.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
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 I guess the mustache is similar.
Yeah.
Yeah. It tried to tag worse than that even. It tried to tag Barack Obama as me, my brother, or a friend of mine, Alexander.
Well, you are kind of dark.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, and Sean is also a mulatto.
Apparently. So well,
that makes sense.
Breed is more of an octoroon.
Well, you know, Obama is half.
Aren't we all?
So,
Breed, which one of your great grandparents was the Moor?
None.
Liar.
We're all very white. We're translucent.
Translucent.
Translucent black.
Not sure that works.
Yeah, it does.
Oh,
okay. In my world, it does, yes.
Oh, okay. In Weird World.
Weirdworld.com.
What was that thing? Do you want to talk about that guy you were talking about? The
No, I'll talk about that later.
Oh, okay.
It's all
later is now.
that guy we want to talk about, speaking of Che Guevara, is our adorable president.
Oh, yeah. That guy.
So who does anyone know about this fucking baseball game? I was just trying to – I heard about it on the news, and I just was like, oh, we'll probably want to talk about this on the Squirrel Report. So I was trying to look up to try to – did we bring an American team into Cuba to play baseball with the Cubans?
The Cubans play baseball.
Well, yeah, but they're – I evidently the Caribbean's the place for baseball anyway, because half the American baseball players are for the Dominican Republic. Right. But But I mean, what's the story with this baseball game?
I don't know.
I get the full story that Barack Obama, who doesn't know, like, you know, even like how many strikes you get before you're out in baseball, you know, decided to watch a baseball game rather than talk about a terrorist attack in Brussels.
Well, I mean, who wouldn't?
Because he was sitting next to a socialist. He had a fucking Rodney up to his knee.
It actually was an exhibition game between the Tampa Bay Rays and the Cuban national team. So we did actually transport a U.S. I think the Tampa Bay Rays are like a double A or triple A or.
No, the Tampa Bay Devil Rays are a major league team.
Are they?
Oh yeah.
I almost had to go watch them. Thank God I was so sick that I couldn't get on the airplane.
I'd never heard of the Tampa Bay Rays.
Yeah.
I think they're a fairly new team. I don't think they've been around for that long.
Yeah. Okay, so here's the thing. Here's the thing about this game that struck me as weird. And the Tampa Bay Rays have a player on their team who defected from Cuba in 2013.
Yeah.
And there he is back in Cuba.
He had to have fucking hated that.
Yeah.
We're sending you back to Cuba.
I wonder how much arm twisting had to go on to get him to go back there.
A lot. I mean, it's one of those, how are you going to keep them from murdering me?
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of those things of the, he's probably technically a criminal there.
Oh yeah.
They could legally, like, you know, have the federales storm into the locker room and slap him in irons, bring him out to the town square and hang him.
Yeah, but you know, Raul wouldn't do that to his buddy Obama.
It would
be embarrassing.
Though to be fair, Raul did get talked into an open press conference by Obama and just abruptly ended it in the middle. I just fucking just walked off the stage. So I kind of wonder, like, if he loves Barry as much as, I mean, of course Obama thinks that he, you know, whoa, we okay?
Nothing there.
Uh-oh. Brita? Did you get eaten by the cats?
No.
Brita, do you have a tiger?
No.
A lynx? A serval?
She's got two giant cats.
Yeah. And Bengals.
I've seen the pictures. They're as big as her head.
Brita's head's not that gigantic.
I was going to say, that doesn't narrow it down much.
Yeah.
Ooh, Murgy just said in chat, where's Elian Gonzalez today? That's an interesting point. I'd kind of forgotten about him.
Oh, yeah, that... you know, what difference does it make now?
Seriously.
That's the end of it. But yeah. But it just strikes me as strange. Like, not only did, I mean, all right, it's fucking gross that Obama decided to go down there and just this whole fucking goofy anti-American tongue bath that he's giving to, you know, that piece of shit.
Well, we do have to acknowledge that he did make some sort of a defense of democracy in there. I didn't listen to what he said, so I don't know all of it, but I do understand that he did say something about how democracy was important.
Yes. I don't think I need to listen to it to get the gist.
Here's the thing though, is communist dictatorships have always claimed that democracy is important. In fact, that's their claim to legitimacy.
That's the number one way you could spot a communist dictatorship is the Democratic Republic of.
Yeah, seriously.
If it says Democratic Republic of, you're a communist, or you're at least a dictatorship.
Yeah.
You're a socialist dictatorship. You might be a national socialist versus Marxist socialist, but either way, you're a socialist dictatorship.
Yeah. I'd like to see him talking about how important the Bill of Rights are.
Yeah, and remember, I mean, remember.
Why would he ever say that? He doesn't believe in the Bill of Rights. Come on now. You want a pony to go with that?
Yes. And a unicorn.
And be fair.
How many hot chicks do you want delivered to your front door to go with that pony and your Bill of Rights speech?
Oh, just the one.
Come on now.
I'm going to need three. One for each color. Testicle.
Yeah. What color do you want your unicorn? Come on now.
Rainbow. They only come in rainbow.
I want the one off that Squatty Potty commercial that poops rainbow sherbet.
Wait. You're about more likely to get that than the Bill of Rights speech.
Can we talk about how much of a piece of shit the Squatty Potty is? That's not true. None of it's true. It's not true. I fucking work with gastroenterologists. It's not true.
Oh, you're talking about pulling your legs up to poop or squatting to poop?
Oh, come on now. Squatting to poop is totally natural. And so is wiping with your hand.
Honestly,
I've squatted to poop a lot in my life.
It straightens your colon out.
No, it doesn't.
And so does sticking a rod up your butt.
Yes.
Not doing that either.
Yep, buy yourself a 6-inch piece of PVC and just lots of Vaseline. Straighten that sigmoid colon right out.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be easier just to eat a lot of fiber?
Just start off your morning with a nice big, cup of tea or coffee and put some sriracha on your eggs. And trust me, it'll work.
And no, that doesn't work.
That just burns coming out.
No, it doesn't. Here's a question for you, and I've wondered about this, and then I saw it as a meme. How come that my butthole only tastes hot food? How come it can't taste chocolate?
It's a funny joke. Would you like the scientist to answer?
Yes.
So capsaicin, the hot flavor in food is not a flavor. It's a sensation. Capsaicin is actually triggering your nerve endings, actually on the heat receptors. It's actually the same idea with the menthol in mint and menthol cigarettes and all of that. That cooling feeling is not there's a minty taste, but that cool minty taste is actually not a taste, but a sensation. It's actually triggering the nerve endings that actually sense cold in your body. So technically speaking, actually, if you ate like a whole lot of like mint stuff or like ate like a carton of menthol cigarettes, I mean, just started swallowing cough drops like it was going out of style and just ate like three bags of cough drops, your butt would probably feel icy cold as you were shitting those out. The same way why your butt feels like it's on fire when you had too much hot food. So it's actually not – so it's because it's a sensation. That's the same reason why if you eat – water is a palate cleanser of the – eat some really like crazy dark chocolate and your taste buds are blown out through the roof because it's like crazy, 80% cacao dark chocolate. And all that. And then you drink it, take a sip of water, and then suddenly it all milds out and goes away. Or the people that put a little splash of water in their scotch to make it a little less, fiery and intense sort of idea. But you take a sip of water after eating something spicy and it only makes it worse because it's just spreading that burning sensation around.
Take all the fun out of things.
That's why I asked. I mean, it was a good joke, but I'm a scientist and I ruin good jokes. It's why I can't listen to Lewis Black, because he's not as smart as he thinks he is. He's a brilliant comedian, but he's not a smart comedian. And so when I just listen to him, I'm just hearing all of his factual errors and mistakes and complete overlooking of reality and just like, yeah, that would be funny if I was just a dumb person being led around by the nose. But unfortunately, I know what you're talking about, and it's not funny because it's not true.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
So I discovered Sean, my – what?
I was about to say, Sean, you wouldn't understand. It's the white man's burden.
Yeah, true. So I discovered my my laptops, they have HDMI cable connectors. So I went down to the store and got an HDMI cable, and I can connect my laptop to the really big TV in my hotel room.
Ooh, that way you don't have to pay for the porn.
I'm not saying nothing. I'm just saying Netflix streams. So does YouTube.
You're in a hotel room. Hotel rooms are for beating off.
And what's the internet for?
Beating off. Internet is for porn.
And cats.
And cat pictures, yes.
Yes, during your refractory period.
Well, you got to look at something.
That's right. That's right. You don't want to get off that chair because you're just going to get right back and sit down in it again.
Oh, the TV that big, I can lay in bed. Especially since I got these really cool headphones with the long springy cord. I got a $70 studio microphone or studio headphone. And that thing is all the way across the room.
Those headphones are nice.
Because the problem is HDMI cable is only video. It doesn't do audio.
Yeah, it does.
Well, it sure didn't work for the TV. The audio came out of the computer. So I had to take my studio headphones, plug them into the computer, and then I had audio. So I listened I watched, what was it, the Heavy Water War episode number 2, and had to listen to it via the computer.
What the hell is the Heavy Water War?
That's a joint movie between the British and the, I want to say, the Norwegians. Yeah,
it's about the Germans looking for heavy water in Norway during World War II.
Yeah, deuterium, I think.
Deuterium and tritium. Those are the hydrogen isotopes with extra
neutrons.
Neutrons, right? So
they used it as a buffer for. They used it as a moderating fluid for nuclear reactors.
Yep. It's very rare, and it's usually it's found in deep still water.
Yeah, because it's heavy and it sinks.
I heard something about they had some sort of like either centrifuge or filtering system that could separate it out.
Yeah, that's kind of how they did it. It was a weight thing. So yeah, it's cool TV show. I've seen two of the episodes so far. I like it. They subtitle the parts where they're not speaking English.
That's always helpful.
Yeah. So yeah, watch it. You should see it. It's pretty good. It's on Netflix on streaming. So.
Though in the case of a documentary, I think I would enjoy it much more if they did terrible overdubbing.
Oh, it's not a documentary.
Oh, it's not.
No, it's a drama, and there's a funny one where these Norwegians are like running away from their country, and they're showing up in Britain, and the guy that they've put in charge of all the Norwegians sees this guy, this redhead guy. He's like, "Who's that guy? Hey, he's from the plant where they're getting all this heavy water. Hey, you're from this plant, aren't you? Yeah. Well, what are you doing here? Well, I left the country. Well, what did you tell your supervisor? Well, I told him I was taking a week's vacation. He's like, good, then you're going back. He's like, well, I can't be back in time. He's like, have you ever parachuted before? And they cut to the scene where they're throwing him bodily out of an airplane.
Whoops.
He's like holding on to the – he's like, no. And the two people like chuck him out the plane.
So by the way, Sean, speaking of chucking people out of the plane and just to kill time because no one's fucking calling in is you were talking about like how much of a pain in the ass it is to jump out of a plane when you're in the Army.
Oh, God.
And you described oranges as a fruit designed by the Army. Yes. I happened to listen to that segment while I was eating my lunch and peeling a delectable orange. You're a big old wimp for not knowing how to peel an orange.
Oh, it's not that I don't know how. It's just that I don't feel like wasting the time.
My daughter likes to peel oranges.
Well, good for her.
She needs to do it with clementines though. She can't do it with like a full navel yet.
Right. I mean, some people like to peel oranges. Some people like to cut themselves with razor blades. Some people are just weird.
I prefer my oranges already peeled by somebody else.
Exactly.
They don't taste the same.
Oh, they taste better.
Outside dries out like really quickly.
Food prepared by someone else always tastes better.
Well, I disagree strongly.
I noticed that.
Maybe not. Some food prepared by
especially when it's prepared by my wife. Always tastes better when my wife makes it.
She's listening.
A little love in every bite. No, she doesn't listen to this podcast or any other podcast that I can tell.
My wife either.
Podcast.
No, your wife listens to our podcast when you put it on while we're driving. Well, no, yeah. While you're driving, right?
Yeah. If we're making a long drive, yeah, I'll throw it on and she enjoys it. She would not enjoy this podcast. She'd be like, I'm bored. I want something else.
Well, she already listens to you enough, weird.
She listens to me a lot.
Yeah. She probably doesn't want more. She's probably going, oh, thank God he's doing that podcast thing. I get a little peace and quiet.
Yeah. Speaking of people who like to peel oranges and cut themselves.
I don't like to cut myself. It just happens. I'm kind of like my daughter in that way. If my wife knows that she's asleep if there's no talking.
Oh.
It's weird's got it's like oh crap, what is it? The thing that always
it's called me. Herpes. No. It's nothing to be ashamed of.
I don't know where I was going.
Space herpes?
I mean, it's just extra, you know, ribbed for her pleasure.
That's right. Genital wart is nature's French tickler. Chuck Palahniuk.
Oh, my God. All right. It's time. We're done. On that note.
By the way, I think I got a minor chuckle. I got a minor chuckle out of Sean. I didn't get anything out of you, Alan. You're not an Ice Pirates fan?
I said that's a good movie.
Yeah. I thought you had.
Yeah.
It's an important thing. Never watch Ice Pirates and then watch Repo Man right after it.
Oh, the genetic opera?
Never watch the two movies, one right after the other, because your brain will go Etch-a-Sketch.
Which Repo Man?
The original.
Oh.
There's the second? Why would you watch? Yeah. Why would you remake the Repo
Man?
Well,
there's
seriously.
Repo Men.
Whatever. Fucking, I don't know, Hollywood people, they are so unoriginal. Oh, look, we wrote a movie and everybody sort of kind of liked it. So, let's not try to write something original. We'll just, do the same thing.
I totally agree with you, Sean. And I will argue that the remake of Judge Dredd is the perfect remake, was because they made a Judge Dredd movie. It was a fucking turd. But it was based on some good source material, so they remade it, and it was really fucking good.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Repo, the genetic opera. That was a good movie.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, there's a movie called Repo.
Don't worry, I don't.
The genetic opera.
But guess what? The caller does. Caller, you're on line one. Oh, wait, no, we didn't get any callers.
Because you're all losers.
That's right.
You had the option to call and ask embarrassing questions that we would have had to figure out how to answer, but
oh well. Are there really embarrassing questions for Weird? I don't think Weird's embarrassed about anything.
I really don't get embarrassed. I really don't get embarrassed. No. At one point I was sitting in one of the dining halls at college, and for whatever reason was squeezing one of those little mini tubs of margarine, you know, the little individual serving ones. And the thing.
Oh, actually, I got something here. Go ahead, finish this off. I want to ask her a question for C90.
And the thing blew up on me, and the whole wad of butter splattered on the lens of my glasses. And just like the whole thing just came off and stuck like this. There was just a quarter inch thick, you know, smear of margarine on my glasses. And it happened to be the entire school basketball team was eating on the table beside me. And they just went nuts, just laughing. And one of the centers stood up and went, "Ha ha ha! Yo, you got punked by the butter." And I realized, and my reaction was, "That was awesome." So yeah, no, I don't get embarrassed. But what do you got for me, Sean?
Well, C90 was saying something about the special operations executive found that it was better not to train people a whole lot for parachute jumps because, you know, the people would get injured during the training. It was better just to toss them out and let them deal with things. And there's a couple of reasons for that. Number one, the training was stupid. Number two, the parachutes that they were using in those days had a descent rate that was basically warp factor 7.
Yep.
When I was in, we were using T-10 Charlie parachutes, and occasionally they used Dash 1 Bravos, which were the steerable round canopies. I think they were sold commercially as para commanders or something like that. I don't know. Nobody used them in civilian life anymore, but we used them like once, maybe twice. And we never used them in mass tactical environments because we'd all got tangled and killed. But T-10 Charlie parachutes descended, if I remember correctly, at like 15 or 16 feet per second. And our reserve parachutes were
slow.
Yeah, it wasn't very fast. And you still hit with a bit of authority. The T-10 Bravo parachute was what was used as a reserve parachute. And those things, you'd come down on those things doing about 20 to 25 feet per second. It was considerably faster. They told us, and number one, you were going to be hanging from a slightly different at a different angle because they were hung from a lower place, you know, more towards the center of your body rather than from your shoulders. But you were going to hit with some serious authority when you landed on those. So figure that was the standard parachute. The T-10 Bravo was a standard parachute before the T-10 Charlie. The T-10 Charlie was an improvement over the T-10 Bravo. They used the Bravo for the reserve because it was smaller and easier to pack in a smaller reserve form. That was what they could fit in that area. Well, imagine what the T-10 Alpha was like. So go back to World War II. What were the speeds they were hitting at?
General velocity.
Right. Seriously, they were barely slowing down when they were hitting, number one. Number two, while I was in, when I first started, we would do pre-jump. One of the things that we did at pre-jump, we would do our pre-jump activities at the unit. They would make us stand in and we would, you know, go through the points of performance. Step one, check, exit the aircraft, have a nice tight body position, all forms of points of performance, count to four, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000. And it was just, you watch it done, it's kind of funny. It's been long enough that it's been like 20 some years. I don't know I could even do it anymore. But then at the end of us doing that, they would line us up and we would climb up onto these little platforms that were damn near shoulder height, and we would leap off of them and we'd have to do it four times. And we would hit the ground in this sand pile that was of varying degrees of not soft because it sat outside and got rained on. And, you know, the feral cats would go shit in it. And we'd hit this sand pile and we'd have to do a dynamic and fluid parachute landing fall, which ended up actually being a pretty fucked up landing. And we'd have to do it four times, forward, left side, right side, and backwards. And it was damn near shoulder height that we were jumping from. Well, they finally figured out that this was dumb. And about halfway through my enlistment, so I got in 90. And by 92, maybe about 93, they finally decided this was dumb. People were getting hurt. So about that time, they moved it down to about waist height that we were jumping from. So we're in mid-90s, and they were finally deciding it was stupid to jump from shoulder height and land in the sand just to practice doing a roll and land before you jumped out of an airplane. So figure what kind of stupidity they were doing. I mean, they were jumping parachutes that hit harder. The other thing is in World War II, they were jumping from DC-3s, and DC-3s couldn't maintain their altitude while they were jumping, because if they did, you'd hit the rear stabilizer. So if they were flying in level flight, you jump out and something was going to hit the rear stabilizer. So they would put him in a shallow descent, I believe, and you jump out and hope you didn't hit anything. So they're not really that great of a jump aircraft. I mean, that was what they had, so that's what they used. But they were, you know, grossly unsafe compared to what we're used to now. You read some of the stories about what it was like to jump in World War II compared to what I was used to jumping out of C-130s and C-141s. And it's, you know, it's horror show. So, yeah, I could totally understand that it was, you know, it was better to just strap somebody in and chuck them out and say, just keep your feet and knees together. And in fact, if you look at some of the old pictures, you'll see them landing and they hadn't figured out the whole feet and knees together thing yet. So they were landing with their feet apart. Well, there's another way. You break your ankles and bust your knees up. So there's a lot of things they hadn't figured out. It was still really a new thing, jumping. And they were really hurting people bad. And even today, they expect if you chuck, you know, 1,000 people out of an airplane, you can expect about 100 of them are not going to be combat effective for one reason or another. They're going to get hurt. They're going to get stuck in a tree. They're going to get wrong place. They're going to be hanging from a belfry or, you know, they're just not going to be anywhere near their objective. The plane's going to get shot down or the plane's going to be so far off target that they're not even going to be anywhere close to where they need to be in order to do their job. So there's about a 10%-ish loss rate in World War II. Figure how much worse that would be.
So and, the solution is don't train them and just drop more guys.
No. The solution is train them properly. And GPS. Now, that was one of the things in this heavy water war is they were supposed to drop 5 people out of a plane and one of them shot himself in the foot or one of them shot another one in the foot. I don't know what. They were screwing off in the barracks and screwed up. And then when they went to drop them, they's like, oh, we have really bad weather where we're dropping you. We have to drop you far west of where we thought we were going to drop you. 80 kilometers. They dropped them off target. So these guys had to find their crap in the snow, in the blowing snow, and ski 80 kilometers to their objective in frozen ass Norway. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? And that so they like did. Fun. Yeah, and so they did. I'm like, are you nuts? So, yeah, hard men. Thank God they were able to do it, but it didn't do them blind bit of good. I mean, they lived, but... Watch the TV show to see what happened.
Okay.
All right. And that's it.
And that's a squirrel report.
Night, everybody.
Good night, Internet.
Bye. Woohoo.